This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here around the Umpqua Valley. It is Oregon by the Numbers from the Ford Family Foundation and Learning Officers Sarah Patowski and Mandy Elder. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle. Excited to be here.
So, first of all, just remind people what the Ford Family Foundation is all about.
Great. Thanks, Kyle. Ford Family Foundation is your local neighborhood funder. We're actually one of the oldest and largest private philanthropies in the state of Oregon. And we fund throughout the state, but also in Siskiyou County, California. We give out grants to nonprofits and other initiatives. We do scholarships. Folks might be familiar with that. We do a lot of research and data, like what we'll discuss today with Oregon by the Numbers. We have a big footprint in rural community building as well. And we run a select books program, which is free books available to everyone in the region.
So why produce this report?
We produce this report because we knew that there's a lot of data out there that decision makers need to use and sift through. And we felt it was important to make it more readily accessible for folks. And what was even more critically important was to make sure that data was available for all 36 counties in our state. We really consider ourselves an embedded rural funder, and we care about rural experiences just as much as urban ones, and really want to make sure that all of Oregon sees all of Oregon in the data.
So, Mandy, what are some of the things people will find in this report?
Yeah, so Oregon by the Numbers, we've been on here before talking about it and talking about how this is publicly available data. So this data is what our public institutions, our government systems collect about our lives and our experiences and report back. But as Sarah was saying, there's a ton of it. It's hard to find, it's hard to understand when you do find it. And if you live in a really small population place, like maybe out Eastern Oregon, it's hard to find data that's really reliable because of the way everything kind of gets shrunk down. So what is in Oregon by the Numbers is what our team at the Ford Family Foundation finds to be really important to know about our community context. So we create a profile for each of the 36 counties in Oregon. We detail the data at the community level, within education, within our economy, our health, and our infrastructure, and then some other sort of general information you need. And then we also detail in the back of the report each of those measures, how counties rank compared to each other, and what you need to know for some context about that measure.
And as people are probably aware, especially because of the diversity of Oregon counties, some of that data really varies. I mean, what might apply or what data may come out of Multnomah County may be very different than Lake County.
Yeah, 100%. I just opened the page in the back to developed land. So in Multnomah County, we rank, there is the top most developed, 35.6%. At the bottom, interesting, I'd want to look into this more, Harney, Malheur, Wheeler, Wallawa, Lake County is like 1.5. Mm-hmm. And so that's a huge variation.
Yeah, a lot of data in there. So for Douglas County, if you're playing at home, turn to page 34 in your book.
It's a PDF online.
Yeah, a lot of information about that. Let's talk about some of the things for Douglas County. What do you want to focus on?
Yeah, we have a few high-level things we want to highlight this year that we're seeing. And then we can do some deeper dives into some issue areas that we're really interested in. Overall, we're seeing, you know, the thing about this being public data also is that this year we published Oregon by the Numbers 2025. A lot of it is really the data that was reported to us in 2024 that was maybe collected that year or the year before. And so some of this is looking back at kind of what we just did. And so what we see when we look back at our experience in Douglas County in 2024 and across Oregon is that median income was up. And the percent of households experiencing financial hardship decreased. And so we were really heartened to see that. We see interesting trends across the state in net migration that we can get into more. We saw foster care rates drop in Douglas County, which we're really heartened to see also. And we also see a lot of interesting trends to watch and look at in education we can dive into deeper.
And, I mean, this has got some basic information. Population, for instance, Douglas County, 40% rural. And net migration, well, this goes back to data from a few years ago because it only comes out probably with the census, I'm guessing.
Yep.
Net migration of 49.
That's right.
Doesn't seem like a lot.
Doesn't seem like a lot, but so that's a rate per 1,000 population.
Ah.
And what's interesting about this is that although it seems small, it's actually more than double what it was in the years prior. And so these data that we're reporting now are from 2020 to 2023. So it's always mapping over a range. So what we're really seeing is that kind of pandemic era effects when we did see a lot of folks moving out of more dense urban centers and into rural counties across our state. Douglas County was definitely one of them. And we saw the results of what that meant for this huge, you know, bigger influx of folks moving into town. It was harder to find housing. There's different, you know, community needs in terms of infrastructure. That said, we don't necessarily expect this trend to continue into the future in future publications of the data. So it was definitely a point in time kind of moment for us in Douglas County.
Well, and you can remember in 2020 and maybe into 2021 a ways, how many U-Haul trucks and plates from California and other places that I would spot in Hewcrest every week.
That's right.
And, you know, you just kind of look around and you don't always know for sure, but in talking to some of the real estate folks, they may be aware of how many people were coming up for remote work, really of all kinds, not
That's right.
just your typical kind of remote work, because everything changed so much. Some of that, of course, has shifted back.
That's right. Yeah.
So let's see here. What else do we want to look at in terms of deep dives for Douglas County? Mandy, you mentioned households and financial hardships, things like that.
Yeah, one actually, can I turn us to a deeper dive on education,
sure.
if you don't mind? Because this is something that's really important to the Ford Family Foundation, the well-being of our kids, their ability to enter kindergarten strong, get a strong start in their education and progress and graduate into adulthood. And one of the, so the indicators that we have here are third grade reading, fifth grade math, sixth grade or ninth grade on track, and then the five-year high school graduation rate. So we're kind of mapping through. And if we look at third grade reading, you know, this is one of those measures that has been influenced also by the pandemic. And I think our schools and our teachers and colleagues in education just, you know these trends so well. Before the pandemic, we were around 43% of third graders were meeting or exceeding their education, their reading benchmark scores. Then we dipped down below 30% during the pandemic. You know, students were really having a hard time getting the supports they need. And we're up to 33% right now. But it's still concerning to think, you know, just a third of our kids are meeting or exceeding their reading benchmarks when we know how important reading is for your ability to learn. And I think that this is a particularly interesting measure to look at because all of us in the community can really think about how we support kids and their ability to learn to read and do well in school. It's their experience in their classroom, but it's also like how they are able to show up and if they have the supports they need to do well. Like, did they get a good night's sleep the night before? Are they well fed? Do they have access to health care? Do they have a safe place to sleep? Are there adults checking in on them? Mm-hmm. You know, all these other conditions that if you imagine yourself showing up to take a test on one day, you know, what would you need to do well in that moment? And kids need that as well. And so I think that this is just an important one to call out to think about. How we can all, as a community, think, how do we support our schools? How do we support our kids so that they can show up and be their best versions of themselves?
All right, we're going to talk more about it when we come back. Mandy Elder, Sarah Patowski from the Ford Family Foundation, back in a moment on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1, Mandy Elder, Sarah Petowski from the Ford Family Foundation. Oregon by the numbers. There is so much data here. And how do people, by the way, access this right now if they want to read all of this?
Thanks so much for asking that, Kyle. You'll want to visit tfff.org/OBTN for Oregon by the numbers, OBTN.
Mandy, we were talking about education a moment ago. One thing I noticed here, four-year college degree or greater, Oregon 36.2%, rural areas 26.5%, and urban areas 40.4%. How does that work, though, with some of these two-year programs, like things that come out of UCC, where you actually jump right into your profession and actually make more money from the front end?
Yeah, great question. What I think is so good about the question is that Oregon by the Numbers can serve as a jumping off point for learning more about the place that we live. So we report four-year college in this, but certainly that data is available. Two-year degree certificate programs and community colleges play a hugely important role in rural Oregon.
So one of the things I wondered about is how on earth do you produce this report?
Gosh, that's such a great question. We actually have a whole team, not only a few of us at the Ford Family Foundation, but we work really closely with Oregon State University's Extension Service. They really help pull in and gather all the data from across the many sources that are then featured and collected in this report. And we have some other folks that help us with the visualizing of the data. And those are consulted roles, and we're just really grateful for how this report continues to iterate and improve year over year. And I want to note we're always eager for community feedback on what you'd like to see in terms of new measures, different ways of visualizing things. Every year, you know, we are looking at these notable features in counties, and we're open to hear from other folks what they'd like to see for their county as well.
So this is like a lengthy process to do this, right?
Yes, a couple months in the making.
Wow.
We start in about February of each year. We're like, okay, team, here we go.
And it takes a while to get through all this. Now, let's run through a few things about Oregon. Let's see here. We could almost have game show music, but maybe not. You guys had some questions there. So mine was fairly simple. Like, for instance, how many of Oregon's 36 counties have you lived in? Mine would be four.
Which are they?
So that would be Douglas County,
yeah.
Then Baker County, then Jackson County, then Washington County, and then Douglas County again.
Boomerang back. I love it. I've only lived in two, Kyle. I've done Douglas County and Benton when I was at OSU.
This is drawing from the 10 things to do with Oregon by the Numbers list that we have in the publication, and the idea is to get you interacting with the report and thinking about these things. And same, I only have lived in two counties in Oregon, Douglas County, and then I went to school at Portland State, so I lived in Multnomah County for a while.
And the other question there was, how many counties have you actually been in? And I took a look here, and I think the only two counties I've never been in, and maybe just one, Harney probably, maybe Malheur. Mm-hmm. But I've been in every other county.
Nice.
Some of that came from having a father who worked for the Oregon Department of Transportation.
Oh, yeah.
Makes
so
sense.
So as we traveled around, he always wanted to check roads out because he built some of them. And just like looking on the freeway here.
There's a whole new meaning to road trip.
Yeah. And not always the exciting thing when you're seven.
Look at this road. Infrastructure is very exciting.
But how does that compare with you guys? How many counties have you been in?
Oh, gosh. So we got 36. I think I'm over the 30 mark for sure. I was trying to remember which ones I've missed or not spent sufficient time in to feel like I can count, you know?
Yeah, I think I have at least driven through every county. Yeah. Maybe not Malheur, though. That should probably get on my list way out eastern Oregon. And I just went up to Wallawa and Union County for the first time, I think last summer, to do some hiking. But I just love Oregon and the diversity. There's always something new to see.
Well, and obviously the southeast and the northeast counties are so large. Mm. I had a friend who lived in Burns who explained to me that he had to drive 90 minutes to really go to a significant grocery store, right. You know, and that's just
exactly
the way of life. So that doesn't work for everybody. What about Oregon's, or rather each county's notable features? So for Douglas County, you have three listed: Oregon Dunes National Recreation Area, Umpqua National Forest, Wildlife Safari. I'm guessing all of us have been to all of them.
That's right, for sure.
But
and we like to list these notable features, though, because, one, you can plan a road trip around it. Mm-hmm. That's fun. And because of that, you can, you know, it has an impact on our local economy. Why do people come here to visit? What are things that kind of shape the experience of the people who live in that place?
And just to clarify for people, because there's always somebody confused, Crater Lake is in Klamath County. and people around here, you know, so many people go to Crater Lake,
yeah.
But it really is feels not like in Douglas County. It's in Klamath County.
That's right.
Is there, besides Crater Lake, is there a feature that you would add to our notable feature list for Douglas County?
Boy, you know, those really stand out. And I think those are really good ones. I start thinking more about events, which doesn't
sure.
really tie into notable features. So that probably covers it pretty well. I did notice some of the counties that had notable features that I, you know, had never been to. Some of these counties have got these great state parks.
Yeah.
Maybe you've been in that county, but you've never been to that park. So
yeah.
That's something to look at as well. Well, a lot of things that people can look at about learning about Douglas County. What kinds of things do you hope people learn from this report?
Oh gosh, I Mandy touched on this earlier, but in Douglas County, we are seeing just remarkable, you know, one of the things I'm really proud of is seeing the trends of kids in foster care decrease over time. And that's been a really concerted effort from many partners across this community coming together and working to support stabilizing families in the earliest years and making sure that they can stay intact and united in the safe ways possible. So it's been remarkable. I mean, it was over... it was a much, much higher rate not that long ago, even 5 years past, and we are down to a place where Douglas is really showing remarkable change and what's possible. So, and we came on a past show, you've heard us talk about the Parent Advisory Council work in this county at Oregon Department of Health and Human Services, and they're really pioneering new ways of working and supporting families where we live. So there are plenty of things that we can spotlight to be proud of.
And again, remind people where they can actually access this report, because this is pretty thick, and now the idea is pretty much digital.
Yeah, you can find this on the Ford Family Foundation's website. It's tfff.org/OBTN. And we have the whole archive of PDFs there available. Every other year we print it. So you can sign up for the mailing list to get a print copy for yourself next year.
And do you hope that a lot of, you know, like public officials and people like that take a look at this?
Yeah, it's incredible. We actually see several state legislators pulling out the data in their newsletters and commenting on it and saying that they hear that this is important to their constituents as well. I was at the Oregon Coast Economic Summit just last week and hearing from several representatives at the county level, local level, and state complimenting this resource and how it informs the work that they're doing.
All right, perfect. We are out of time for now. Sarah Patowski, Mandy Elder, learning officers from the Ford Family Foundation, talking about Oregon by the numbers. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
All right, 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.